ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः.
वी आर् इन् दि चाप्टर् एड्वैस् टु हौस् होल्डर्स्, थर्स्डे आगस्ट् 24, 1882. इन् अवर् लास्ट् क्लास्, जस्ट् टु रिमैण्ड् from where to continue. Sri Ramakrishna is telling, God has created the world in play, as it were. This is called Mahamaya, the great illusion. This play is called Leela, and therefore one must take refuge in the Divine Mother, the cosmic power itself. Then Sri Ramakrishna sang and danced, and the devotees also danced around him. This, until this, we have talked about in our last class. And this talk went on until midnight. So shortly before midnight, Narendra and the other devotees lay down on a bed made on the floor of the master's room. Then they saw, so hardly they must have slept for a few hours. At dawn, some of the devotees were up. They saw the master, naked as a child, walking up and down the room, repeating the names of the various gods and goddesses. His voice was sweet as nectar. Now he would look at the Ganges, now stop in front of the pictures hanging on the walls and bow down before them, chanting all the while the holy names in his sweet voice. Now and then, Ramakrishna said, O Mother, thou art verily Brahman, and thou art verily Shakti, thou art Purusha, and thou art Prakriti, thou art Virat, thou art the Absolute, and thou dost manifest thyself as the relative. Thou art verily the 24 cosmic principles. Why was Sri Ramakrishna talking like this? Because Sri Ramakrishna can give instructions directly in the form of talk, conversation, or by singing, frequently we come across it, or by just as if he was talking to Mother. And who was the Mother, or who is the Mother, to whom he is, with whom he is speaking? Remember, we should never forget, a Brahmagnani or a Jivan Mukta always sees Brahman, God, everywhere. But he also sees there are so many jivas, they are none other than God. But they are not aware of that fact. So, as if he is talking to himself. In a way, we can take the example of a dream. Suppose there is a professor, lecturer, he is having a dream, and he is having entire classroom, and then he is giving a marvelous lecture. As long as the dream is continuing, the lecturer is separate individual, the listeners are each separate individuals, but as soon as the person wakes up, then he understands, this is my Leela, my Jagat, I am the Brahma of this entire Swapnika Jagat, dream world. And then who was the professor in the dream? Himself. Who are the students? Himself. What in the classroom? Himself. Everything is himself. And so when he enters into that state, everything is separate. And when he wakes up, everything, all the karya effect comes back into the karana. I myself am the professor. I am also the students, I am also the classroom, and everything that is perceived in the dream. This is the continuous realization of every Jivan Mukta. So, a Jivan Mukta identifies simultaneously both with himself, with his real nature, which is Brahman, as well with all the world, which is none other than Brahman. And at the same time, as if it is not Brahman. And this marvelous idea Shankaracharya had incorporated at the very beginning of his Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam. So he says, so Srishti, Jagat Srishti, as if he had created, as if he incarnated, as if, the word, very word as if means it is as good as real, but not real. Appears to be absolutely real, not real. So what is he telling? Brahma Satyam, and usually for sadhakas, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. So the world becomes negated. And the jiva, bereft of the body and mind, is none other than Brahman. But Sri Ramakrishna indicating that you are Brahman, you are also Shakti. Shakti means what? His entire karya prapancha, world. If you do not think, do not ever imagine, Shakti is some individual deity sitting somewhere. Shakti means the entire universe. So, Dhavat Purusha and Dhavat Prakruti. You are Brahman, you are Shakti, Dhavat Virat, Dhavat the Absolute. Virat, we know, this entirety of this world is called Virat. And thou dost manifest thyself as the relative, and you are only manifesting yourself as we manifest ourselves in the dream. That is the meaning of relative. Dhavat verily, the 24 cosmic principles. In other words, Panchabhutas. And through that, even though the devotees were listening to Ramakrishna's words, like hypnotist's world, words. What does a hypnotist do? He first casts a spell on the people. And then whatever he speaks, that becomes Paramasatyam to the people who are there. And that's what exactly Swami Vivekananda used to do when he used to lecture. As it were, he would rouse up the dormant spirituality and lift every one of them to a very high level. And then Swamiji used to say, then I inject these Vedantic ideals into them. And sometimes, abruptly, he leaves off the platform and goes away. And later on, someone protested and asked, it's not our custom. When everybody was so much absorbed, why did you break off the talk? He said, I found that if I give them something higher, ideal, then they would come into conflict with their normal self. And as a result, they will be injured. Not only they will not be helped, but they will go down. So, of course, we have to understand it is Sri Ramakrishna who was talking through them. What Sri Ramakrishna used to call, my mother is talking, I don't know anything. Exactly the same realization came to Swamiji. It is Sri Ramakrishna who is talking through this channel. I am just an instrument. After this, it became in the morning, then the morning service had begun in the temples of Kali and Radhakanta. And the devotees who were staying with Sri Ramakrishna came outside the room and saw the priests and servants early dawn gathering flowers in the garden for the divine service in the temples. Let us remember Sri Ramakrishna at one time, exactly he was doing the same thing. Early morning he used to go and collect the flowers and in a divine mood make beautiful garlands out of him. Remember, he was a great artist and he used to decorate the Divine Mother, and that is a marvelous thing. Remember the beautiful incident when once Holy Mother got some flowers, I don't know where from, and she made pure jasmine flowers. And she made a beautiful garland and she sent it to Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna entered into an ecstatic state, said, what a beautiful garland. Let me decorate the Divine Mother. And then when he decorated and the mother seemed to be shining with that garland, naturally the lady who used to put on mundamala, skull garland, would look much better and I think much happier also with this jasmine flower. Sri Ramakrishna was so delighted, immediately sent, call her, means Holy Mother, let her come. Then all the male devotees went to one side, Holy Mother came slowly and she also enjoyed. See, this is the beauty. If you, any one of you devotees, you cook for God, or you make garlands in our Bangalore Matha, also, regularly some devotees sit in the veranda, you must have noticed, some of you must have noticed, and they make beautiful garlands. And in our Bull Temple Road Ashrama, so they come after lunch, collect all the flowers, make very, very beautiful. There is a beautiful flower tree, it is called Ixora. Very small flowers, a bunch of reddish, whitish, etc. It is very difficult to make garland out of it. But these people sit down and in 3-4 hours they make a thick, beautiful garland from the Ixora flower. And naturally, some of them have taken a vow. With each flower, I repeat the name of God, like that. So, the devotees saw the dawn service. And from the Nahabath, there is an arrangement, beautiful music, melody of musical instruments. Usually it is called shanai, or a long pipe. Narendra and the other devotees finished their morning duties and came to the master. With a sweet smile on the lips, Sri Ramakrishna was standing on the northeast veranda, close to his own room. And when Narendra and others, remember in those days there were no attached toilets. There was a solitary place called Pine Grove. Oh, there, Sri Ramakrishna used to go, devotees also go, and water is available. Then Narendra must have noticed it. We noticed several sannyasis belonging to the sect of Nanak in the Panchavati, Nanak Panthi. And they are very devotees type, not Advaita sannyasins. But Sri Ramakrishna's eyes are ever awake. Yes, they arrived yesterday. He noticed when they came. And then Sri Ramakrishna was addressing to Narendra, I would like to see you all sitting together on the mat. As they sat there, the master looked at them with evident delight. He then began to talk with them. Narendra asked about spiritual discipline, that means sadhana, and Sri Ramakrishna, gems of Upanishadic truths in the most ordinary language, simplest of the language. There's a beautiful song. If you wish to see a new type of person, all of you come running. Ishecho notan manush digbi jodi ai chole. And then he is carrying 2 bags on his left and right shoulders. What are those bags? Viveka, discrimination, and vairagya. And in that song there is saral kothai shikhale. So you have taught everybody in the simplest possible words. And this is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. Bhakti, love of God, is the essence of all spiritual disciplines. Through love, one acquires renunciation and discrimination naturally. So the viveka and vairagya, they have to be practiced, and then love of God comes. So that is one way of putting, because there is no first and afterwards. So they go simultaneously. If a person has got discrimination and right type of discrimination, then naturally whatever goes against it, whatever he understands to be counterproductive, he would give up there. So, only when a person has love, that is, he understands through scriptural teaching or guru's teaching that God is real, the only goal of life is God realization. When he understands this, then viveka and vairagya follow. But both of them, there is no first and after. It always comes simultaneously. So 1 minute this, 1 minute that, like that. Sri Ramakrishna was talking, and he was exceedingly joyful because he is beloved Narendra. And my guess is, whatever he is talking about, he is talking only for the benefit of Narendra. Of course, everybody, there is no doubt, these are universal words of wisdom. But specially Narendra, because albeit unknown, he was being trained by Sri Ramakrishna to be a world teacher. So, who is a world teacher? Nowadays, so many people go by the name of Jagadguru. They are not gurus of even themselves, not to speak of anybody else. Who is a Jagadguru? He who is in a position to understand even the lowest, simplest intelligence and then teach or guide that person to higher levels gradually. That means a person who is capable of teaching what is called kindergarten children as well as PhD students. Such a person alone can be called a great teacher. Jagadguru means he who is capable of teaching anybody in the world, whatever be his status. Everybody is not a what is called longing for God. So, these are the ideas. In future, they will be coming in exuberant springs from the mouth of Swami Vivekananda. Of course, according to our belief, it was only Sri Ramakrishna's spirit, but through the voice of Swamiji and of course other direct disciples also, but none like Swami Vivekananda. And Sri Ramakrishna was delighted. Once somebody asked, let us remember, why do you love Narendra so much? Sri Ramakrishna himself did not know at that moment. He ran to the Divine Mother. Ma, why do I love Narendra so much? And she explained. So, before that I will give you Sri Ramakrishna's analogy. If there is a huge magnetic hill and there are many, many iron filings and most of them are covered with thick mud, but there are a few filings which are in different degrees of covered, being covered by mud. But there are a few, absolutely there is no mud. And they are all at equidistance from the magnetic hill. What happens now? Very easily you can also guess, those who do not have any mud at all, instantaneously they fly. What do they become? They become completely identified with the magnet. This is called Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikya, Bodha. Knowledge that the individual and the universal, such distinctions completely vanish. What remains is pure consciousness. But for others also, according to the covering, they receive the same teachings, but all of them are completely inspired. And each one will move forward by these words. When Sri Ramakrishna was talking like this, the sannyasis belonging to Nanak's sect entered the room and greeted the master saying, Namo Narayana. So I also mentioned Namo Narayana. When two sadhus meet in North India especially, they say Namo Narayana. Salutations to Narayana. I am saying you are Narayana and you also must say Narayana in me. Or another also very beautiful way of greeting. Darshan saaf hai, is your vision clear? Are you able to see Brahman in me? Reminding each other that is our final goal. So Sri Ramakrishna asked them to sit down. So I guess they are not many because Sri Ramakrishna's room is a small room. So hardly already there are devotees. So a few more must have been there. I don't know how many, 4, 5, 6, we don't know, but it cannot be huge number. And then Sri Ramakrishna suddenly, he changed his nature. Why did he change? Because these sannyasins, they belong to Nanak, Guru Nanak Path, that is more or less like a Bhakti Mishrita Gnana Marga. And what is the topic? Nothing is impossible for God. Nobody can describe his nature in words. Eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Namo namo prabhu vakya mana atita. nothing is impossible, because many times we, the devotees, we know what our mind is. So we think even God cannot change our mind, but His grace can change anything and everything. So Brahman can forget I am Brahman and become Brahma, or Brahma by His grace, which can never become Brahman, can also become Brahman. Aghatana ghatana patiyasi. Shankara, defining the what is called Maya, one of the descriptions of Maya is aghatana, impossible, but it becomes possible, that is called Maya. Ghatana patiyasi, impossible is made possible, and that power which can make this is called Mahamaya. So everything is possible for him. And Sri Ramakrishna, immediately, more than Kalidasa, he gives a beautiful story. There lived at a certain place two yogis who were practicing spiritual discipline. Now and then, I will be inserting my own understanding of this. Both of them are yogis, and we take it for granted both of them are equal. No, their understanding of God is completely different from each other, even though both of them are sadhakas only. With this background, let us proceed. The sage Narada was passing that way one day, and realizing who he was, one of the yogis said, "You have just come from God Himself. What is He doing now?" Beautiful understanding in our Puranas. So Narada is a person who has access to God. Nobody can prevent. Any time one can go. But why only Narada? Any devotee, he can have unobstructed access to God at any given time. Why? Even to say he has access to God smacks of ignorance. Who is God Himself is residing in the very heart. It is the devotee who controls the God. So therefore, God has to seek, "Do I have your permission to sleep now?" And if the devotee says, "No, I want to think about you, I want to sing to you," you just sit there and listen to my song. However croaky his voice, he wants patiently, God has to sit and listen. So these two yogis understood. Narada was coming from God, and you have just come from God Himself. What is He doing right now? That is, when you visited, what was He doing? Narada replied, "Why? I saw Him making camels and elephants pass and repass through the eye of a needle." At this, one of the yogis said, "Is that anything to wonder at? Everything is possible for God." Here is a yogi who is a bhakta, more of a bhakta. And a bhakta says, everything is possible for God. And this is the exact teaching we get in the Bible also. So camels, God can make camels pass through the eye of a needle. Of course, there is a lot of background knowledge for that saying. When Jews were there, they had certain superstitions, let us say. So if somebody dies at home, and they always used to have a separate doorway for the body to be taken out, and then the camels also have to come there, and that door is called the eye of the needle. It is not that. So that was the understanding in the Bible. But then let us look at in this way. Whenever we hear the word eye of a needle, what comes to your mind? The needle that we use every day to soak our dress, and that is a very small needle. Even a bigger thread also will not pass. But why do you think that God's needle also should be the same size? Can He not make a huge needle where thousands of camels at the same time can pass? Like, how many thousands of devotees are passing at the Kumbh Mela through the eye of that needle? by pushing and pulling and etc. Not pulling, pushing only. So, one yogi had, what is it? God can do anything. I will never question. Don't say anything about God, what he can do, what he cannot do. He can do everything. Is that anything to wonder at? Everything is possible for God. But the other fellow was a skeptic. That means he did not progress so much. He didn't have faith. Since I cannot do it, since many people cannot do it, and God also cannot do it. So the other yogi said, what? Making elephants pass through the eye of a needle? Is that ever possible? You have never been to the Lord's dwelling place. Not only he doubted that statement. Whenever we doubt anybody's statement, remember, what is the psychology? We doubt the person himself. It is not that this person is very good, very sincere, but he must be mistaken. That's a rare occurrence. First thing is, this person doesn't know. He himself, he simply passes whatever comes through his mouth. No. So, you have never been to that place. You do not know God. And if you had known God, you would not have issued such a statement. What was Sri Ramakrishna's message to us? Everything is possible by the grace of God. And there is a beautiful Sanskrit verse to give us a hint how we should look upon God. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande paramananda madhavam. What a beautiful statement. Mukam karoti vachalam. So a dumb fellow becomes eloquent. And this is what Swami Vivekananda said. I was practically dumbstricken. I could not open my mouth. That's why he went on postponing. And finally, either you speak or you won't. Then he got up, saluted Mother Saraswati. Mukam karoti vachalam. This shloka came to his mind, he himself said. And your grace can make everything possible. And we also know it. But the thing is, we doubt ourselves. We don't doubt God, but we doubt ourselves. I am not a fit instrument for God's grace. And therefore, it is impossible for God to do anything with a fellow like me. This is the doubt that comes. What did this other fellow said? That it is impossible for God. But a devotee will never say that. He says the other thing. Everything is possible for God. But I am not in a position to receive that grace. And a true devotee is one who says, whatever I am, it doesn't really matter. God can make this very instrument beautiful. He can play even a broken drum. Beautiful rhythmic sounds he can make. This was what frequently Swami Shivanandaji, Mahapurush Maharaj, used to say. So why Sri Ramakrishna is playing with this broken drum? But he is doing his work properly, even though it is broken. Is very, very true also, actually. I have seen that one. At one time, somebody had a almost broken harmonia and it won't play properly. But one day, somebody who could sing, etc., he came, and what beautiful way he played on that very harmonium. It is unbelievable in a way of saying. So with a master's, the touch of a master's hand, even a broken reed can do wonders. So this is what Sri Ramakrishna is trying. I think there might have been some sannyasis among those who visited at that time, these what is called Nanak Panthi sannyasis. Maybe there are some people who are of that nature. So Sri Ramakrishna is trying to instill in them unquestioning faith in God. And then Narendra and his friends had finished bathing in the Ganges. M doesn't say what happened after that. So presumably after some time, all these devotees, they went to take bath in the Ganges. And then the master said, after they returned, earnestly, go to the Panchavati and meditate there under the banyan tree. Why did Sri Ramakrishna say that? Because he himself had practiced and it was full of spiritual vibrations, and therefore you go and meditate, so you will get, it is like rowing a boat and the breeze is blowing in their direction where they want to go. So sometimes you can see aeroplanes coming from one continent to the other continent. If the wind is favorable, then several hours are shortened of the journey of the plane. But if they are against, then so much more time is necessary. Sometimes I'm wondering, you know, they show how the plane is about to proceed. It's as if they are going in semicircle, not straight. Then I understood. So this is the shortest way, shortest cutting so much delay, because there is something there. Automatically, these instruments will correct this pilot. Shall I give you something to sit on? Sri Ramakrishna asked. Then we have to imagine all these devotees. We don't know about the sannyasins. They have their own routine. So they must have gone there to the Panchavati Banyan tree and they must have meditated. So about 10:30, Narendra and his Brahmo devotees were meditating in the Panchavati. After a while, Sri Ramakrishna came to them. M too was present. The master said to the Brahmo devotees, now he is giving instruction. So what was Sri Ramakrishna telling? How to meditate? Or what is real meditation? So the master, addressing the Brahmo devotees, started telling, in meditation, one must be absorbed in God. By merely floating on the surface, can you reach the gems lying at the bottom of the sea? Then he sang a beautiful song in Bengali, how to dive deep. There are several songs which start, dive deep, doob, 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 Roop Sagare Amar Mon is one of them. Doob Dere Mon, Kali Bole, O mind, dive deep, taking the name of Mother Kali. And then the meaning is given. This is the lyric of that song. Hridi Ratna Kare, Agadha Jale. So when a person dives where? In the deep into the ocean of his own sea or ocean of love. Then it is said, we don't know how far it is, there is a pearl fish is there and it will receive particular drops of water in the when the Swati Nakshatra comes, and then it goes, dives deep. And until a pearl is formed, it will not come out. There are many pearls like that. There are so many things, invaluable things in the ocean. Even today, scientists do not know what are all things that are there. So, Hridi Ratnakare Agadha Jale. In the deepest part of this ocean, bottom of the ocean. And what is that ocean? Hridi, the cave of the heart. And what type of cave? Ratnakare. Ratnakara means what is called storehouse of invaluable jewels. And then he says, Ratnakar noy shunna kakhon. And this treasure house will never be bereft of these invaluable jewels. Duchar dube dhan napele. So after diving deep 4 or 5 times, a few times, if you do not get, do not think that the treasure house is devoid of any treasures. This is the rough meaning. Beautiful song, but here is the English translation. Taking the name of Kali, dive deep down, O mind, into the soul's fathomless depths, where many a precious gem lies hid, but never believe the bed of the ocean bare of gems. If in the first few dives you fail, with firm resolve and self-control, dive deep again and make your way to Mother Kali's realm. So what is the treasure house? Mother Kali. What are the treasures? Elsewhere it is said, what are the treasures? The fourfold fruits, dharma, artha, kama and moksha. That is to say, if a person is devoted to God, then the very first grace of God will be it will transform the person's life. He will become dharmic, and dharma alone can give artha and kama. This is what we call karma siddhanta. Adharma, it destroys whatever property, prosperity, power, or talent anybody has got, he will be destroyed. But if a person is dharmic, is dharma, dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. When dharma is maintained, dharma maintains, that person will never give up. This paraspara sambandha, so interdependence. A dharmic person is never to encounter the results of adharma, and vice versa. We have to understand it. So with firm resolve and self-control, dive deep and make your way. Where? Mother Kali's realm. And down in the ocean depths of heavenly wisdom lie the wondrous pearls, invaluable jewels. What are those jewels? Pearls of peace, O mind, and you yourself can gather them. If you but have pure love and follow the scriptures rule. Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful, this, I think it may be Ram Prasad's song, I don't know, I don't remember, but a marvelous song. And Sri Ramakrishna, part of sadhana, is singing these songs with his whole heart and soul. And the least we can do is first understand the meaning, and then if we can sing, even meditate upon these songs, bhajans, with complete ekagrata, concentration, try to understand what they mean, try to connect them with the lives of, say, Ramakrishna, etc., then it is quite possible. But then, say, Ramakrishna also adds something. So this is the ocean. But in the very ocean, which is Mahamaya, when we dive deep, there is two types of Maya, Vidya Maya and also Avidya Maya. That is what Sri Ramakrishna wants to be aware. Not only pearls, but also dangerous things are there. Within those ocean depths as well, is the part of the song, six alligators lurk, six alligators. Very, very symbolic word we all should know, Arishadvarka. What are they? Lust, anger, and the rest. What are they? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. And what are they doing? These alligators, these crocodiles. It is called crocodile, alligator. And what do? They catch hold of the person. How an alligator catches its prey, even I've seen, and you can also see on the YouTube, when the wild beast or deer or even tigers and lions, if they catch hold of even the tail, they will not let it go. And they will drag, because a crocodile has tremendous power in the water. So they drown them forcibly and eat them up after death. They choke them literally, not allowing them to breathe. So these are the six alligators. Is called Arishadvarga, the sixfold enemies. They are also called what we call the inner shatrus, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. What are these alligators doing? They want to eat. So what do they eat? These sadhakas who are not taking care of themselves, who are not paying attention, who are not done what they should have done before diving. So they are swimming about in search of prey. That is to say, if anybody entertains, cherishes any one of these feelings within them, then that person becomes a victim to, that means death. Death means what? We are not talking about physical death, and that is also possible. But in this song, we are talking about spiritual death. That means you will not progress in spiritual life. But what is the way out? So the song itself tells, smear yourself with the turmeric of discrimination, viveka, and the very smell of it will shield you from their jaws. So there are some of the technicians have developed some kind of lotion If anybody wants to dive deep, and then they put all over their body, and when they dive deep into the ocean, sharks, etc., they come near. But they have extraordinary power of smell, and they smell this lotion like mosquito repellent, and immediately they all run away, because every creature is in fear of death. So this is something as if it is some powerful enemy, smell is coming, and they instinctively act according to the smell. And more upon that, because in the depths of the ocean, one cannot see properly. So it is the smell that guides them. The very smell of it will shield you from their jaws. And then if somebody can successfully thwart these fellows and succeed in getting down, upon the ocean bed lies strewn unnumbered pearls and precious gems. Plunge in. What are these pearls and precious gems? Bhakti, Jnana, Viveka, Vairagya, Shraddha, Samadhana, Uparati, Titiksha. All these spiritual qualities are the pearls and precious gems. Plunge in. Says Ram Prasad. Yes, this is a song composed by Ram Prasad. And gather up handfuls there. Gather up what? Spiritual qualities and a plenty. That's why we sing Te Mai Santu, Te Mai Santu. Those spiritual qualities enumerated in the Upanishad. So let them be firmly established in me. In fact, the prayer is, let them possess me. Not I want to possess them. Let them control me. Viveka, Vairagya, etc. This was the, through the song, the Ramakrishna is injecting. Don't forget, when we see some people singing bhajans, etc., their attention is, how wonderfully I want to sing, and how many appreciative nods are coming from the audience, and how much they will applaud me. This would be most people's final goal. But when Sri Ramakrishna himself used to sing, he used to be absorbed in his own thoughts. That is an ideal thing. But Sri Ramakrishna had the power, by a glance, by a touch, by the will, through singing, through speaking. Even if Sri Ramakrishna tells a joke, and that is also a tremendous lesson for people to learn, and people can really laugh. That is, when a person like Sri Ramakrishna tells a joke, then people are helpless, Narendra and others. Later on we see, even Narendranath and Raja Maharaj, etc., they could tell jokes. Some among the direct disciples can never tell a joke. You can never hear Mahapurush Maharaj telling a joke. I have not heard even Swami Abhedanandaji, etc., quite a number of them. They are so serious, they can't tell a joke. But Swami Brahmananji was a practical joker. So many incidents are there. But Swamiji, he was a marvelous joker. Once some fellow came to him and then said, Swami, please confirm that my guru is an avatara and that stupid fellow, his brain is what is called full of mud. So he wants the certificate of Swamiji. And then Swamiji said, my son, the Puranas speak of many avataras. A pig is an avatara, a fish is an avatara. And which avatara you are referring to your guru? I don't know what happened. After that, the fellow, if he had the buddhi, he would never return. But I don't know, he didn't understand. Went, not one, many, many, many people like that. So, even through jokes, Ramakrishna can throw everybody into peals of laughter. But at the same time, a deep lesson is also driven into their very unconscious. People like Swamiji, Ramakrishna, they never touch the surface of our minds. They bypass this, go straight inside. Of course, not of everybody. Only those who deserve, and then he will plant the seed there, and albeit unknown to them, the seed will grow and the person will be shocked. so many things are lurking within me, so much of Shraddha, so much of Viveka, Vairagya, etc. So, he was a master singer. Through singing, he imports or he exports his own idea and deep into their hearts. And if a person like Sri Ramakrishna, through singing, he will not simply entertain you. Usually when some singers sing, and they sing very nicely, we all become pleased. And that is what many people mistake as Bhajanananda. But that is not Bhajanananda. That is only Sangeetananda, if at all. Not even Sangeetananda. Because many of these people who sing, they have absolutely no knowledge of the classical music. They have beautiful voices and they have the talent to sing rhythmically with tabla, tala, etc. But usually they don't have much knowledge about the classical of the raga, nature of the raga. But I have seen so many such videos. A person who is well aware of these ragas. So there are demonstrations. Same song can be set to different raga and goes on singing and suddenly he will change. Of course, we will not understand what raga, and because we don't understand, we becomes ragis. That's all. Sri Ramakrishna's method of passing on spiritual inspiration proceeds throughout the day. As I said, through a glimpse, glance, touch, sankalpa, singing, anyway. So, the master continues. When you plunge in the water of the ocean, you may be attacked by alligators, but they won't touch you if your body is smeared with turmeric. What is this turmeric? This is called Viveka and Vairagya. There are no doubt 6 alligators, lust, anger, avarice and so on, within you, in the soul's fathomless depths. But protect yourself with the turmeric of discrimination and renunciation, Viveka and Vairagya, and they won't touch you. So, these Shadripu, they are called Ripu. Ripu means enemy. And most people understand them as enemies. But Sri Ramakrishna himself elsewhere gave us the direction. They're not only the enemies for the indiscriminate, but for the discriminate, they are the greatest helpers in their progress in spiritual path. How? Says kama, desire. So, are there people, through kama, they progressed or realized God? Yes. Kamat gopyaha. Bhagavatam says, gopis who are illiterate, but who are imbued with a tremendous Viveka Vairagya. They don't want anything else. They want only Bhagavan Krishna. And that Rasalila, it is called Pancha Rasalila, Rasa Pancha Adhyaya. 5 chapters on Rasa in the 10th Skandha of the Bhagavatam is full of spiritual meaning. No gopi was ever seeing an ordinary man. Every gopi was awakened rishi. And that is when the Gopi Gita, if you have studied the Gopi Gita, you understand, from which only the opening verse, one of those verses, Tava Katha Amritam, Tapta Jeevanam, Kavibhiriditam, Kalmashapaham, Shravana Mangalam, Srimadatatam, Bhuvi Grinanti Ete, Bhurida Janaha. This came only from that Gopi Gita. And then they understood. Who was Krishna? He is not the son of an ordinary illiterate village woman, cowherd woman. That is Yashoda's son. Nakhalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan. Then, what's your understanding? Akhila Dehinam Antaratmadrik. You are the inner seer. You see everything. You witness everything. Sitting in the hearts of everybody, Antaratma, who is called Ishvara. That was their understanding. And therefore, that understanding is the real Viveka Vairagya. So, this is what Sri Ramakrishna means. So, Kamat Gopyaha. Then, that is an example. they intensely desired Krishna. But what Krishna? Paramatma, Antaryami, Sarvantaryami. Bhayat Kamsaha. Kamsa adopted, or Bhagavan endowed him with the gift. So through Bhaya, you will come to me. So day and night, ever since Kamsa heard that the destroyer of Kamsa will be the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudeva, and tremendous, indescribable fear has entered into Kamsa's heart. So he started meditating on Krishna. And then it is said in the commentary that he was meditating so much day and night. His dream consists of Krishna. He is coming with a sword. And anybody whom he sees in the waking state, so he will be coming. Krishna perhaps is coming in disguise. And what is that? That fellow is carrying a bag. Is there a knife there? Maybe he wants to stab me. So he is seeing Krishna in everybody. And Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. If somebody makes a paste of frogs and then puts it in his eyes, Anjana, Gnana Anjana Vimalanayana Vikshane Mohajai. Then this fellow who makes a paste of all the frogs. Frog, why frog? Because frogs are frightened of snakes. They see snakes everywhere. And then this fellow starts seeing snakes only, like the frogs everywhere. As Sri Ramakrishna also gives the example, when a person is suffering from jaundice, he sees everything as yellow. So Sri Ramakrishna's words are so deep. As we meditate, we also will be able to unravel the deeper meanings of Sri Ramakrishna's saying. So, Veshat Shishupaladayaha. By hating, and if you hate somebody, you will remember only that particular person. More than you remember God or your beloved mother and father or family member. So, Dveshat. So, these people, they have developed so much of hatred, they cannot think anybody but Krishna. So, as soon as Krishna's chakra, it cut the head of this Shishupala, they show this truth. A small lamp, light, came out of this Shishupala, similarly Dantavakra, and entered into the Sri Krishna's. That means Jivatma, having been liberated, he becomes his one with the Paramatma. These beautiful truths are there, which we will talk about in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.